Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, December 14th, the year of our Lord, 2025, and this is the third Sunday in the season of Advent. Blessings to you. It's a joy to welcome you here to the podcast, and I pray that our time together will be worthwhile. It'll be a time, I pray, of renewal of the heart, a refreshing of the spirit. And so with this in mind, let's begin as we do around here by taking in a big, deep breath. And don't just hold that breath, but savor it. And thank God for it. It's the gift of life. And let it go. And then take in another big breath with thanksgiving. And as you breathe, I encourage you to call to mind the people and the places, the situations and the opportunities that fill you up inside, that light up your spirit, those things for which you are most grateful. And hold them before God. And say thank you. And perhaps extend your fingers, open your hands wide, and then extend your arms out as far as they'll reach. Turn your face toward the sky. Thanks be to God for every good and perfect gift. And in this posture, in this spirit, let's begin together in worship.
Advent Candle Lighting, Week 3, The Candle of Joy. Today we light the third candle of Advent, the Candle of Joy. This candle, often called Gaudete, reminds us to rejoice in the Lord always. Even in waiting, we find joy in God's faithful presence. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Like Mary, we rejoice because God is doing great things among us. We rejoice in the good news of great joy for all people. God of joy, fill our hearts with gladness at the nearness of Christ. Make our lives songs of praise, and help us to share your joy with those who walk in darkness. Through Jesus Christ, the giver of joy. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from Luke 1, verses 39 through 55. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Indeed, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has come to the aid of his child Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever."
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. We give you thanks for the gift of this, your good and living word. We pray your presence here among us as we take some time to focus our attention on what it is you're saying to us. We pray that you'd save us. Save us, O God, from misinterpretation and distraction, so that we could truly receive this gift, that we could hear your voice, feel your presence. We ask all of this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Well, here we are together on this third Sunday in the season of Advent, blessed with this beautiful story, one of my favorites in all of Scripture, this moment, this beautiful moment between Mary and her cousin Elizabeth. Mary, who has made great haste to get to this moment, she has profound and beautiful good news to share. And there's only one other person in the world, really, who can fully appreciate her emotions and the experience that she's having right now. Only one person who might really fully understand the conversation she's had just recently with an angel who has told her that she will be pregnant with the Son of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit. And Mary opens herself up to that promise that it would be so, that it would come to pass through her and in her life. It's the kind of good news that you have to share. I mean, what I want for us to be able to do today is to draw on our own experience, to call to mind a moment in time where you heard tremendous good news, where a way was made, perhaps, where you thought there was no way. When a child was conceived, a child was born. When a job opportunity came up at just the right moment. When someone intervened to help and changed what was perhaps a bad situation and made it right. And something good and beautiful can come from it. When we're blessed in those ways, look, really good news. You got to find someone to share it with and someone you know will appreciate it. someone, if for no other reason, because of their love for you and the joy that they see in your heart, will celebrate as fully as you. Call those things to mind. And with those things in mind, then we can read through this text and just be a part of the joy that's present in it. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. I always find that a little bit comical, because I just think Zechariah's maybe there, and she gives him a quick nod, but she has got to see Elizabeth. She is on a mission. She enters the house. "Hi, Zechariah. I need to see Elizabeth." Elizabeth hears her. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. Elizabeth, now 6 months pregnant with her miracle baby, the one promised to her when she believed that children were not to be a part of her life. This miracle baby, John, leaps in her womb. And there we have in this story Mary and Elizabeth and the leaping baby, John. And, as the text goes on to say, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So now we have Elizabeth and Mary and John and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and maybe in some other corner of the house, Zechariah. But now, two women, two developing children, and the Holy Spirit of the Most High God. What a joyful gathering. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." What an incredible start to this beautiful, beautiful moment of joy. As we consider the possibility of joy, these are two ordinary women. They don't have great social status. They're deeply faithful. And they come to this moment because of an openness to what God is doing through them. That ancient promises that they are steeped in, that they know well, prophecies and stories, the movement of God through these people of God. And I think there's another woman there. And we can hear her voice in what Mary is about to say. I believe Hannah is there. Hannah is the mother of the prophet Samuel. Hannah prayed for a child, and her prayer was answered. And when she prays and she offers a prayer of praise, she says this: "My heart rejoices in the Lord. The Lord has made me strong. Now I have an answer for my enemies. I rejoice because you rescued me. No one is holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Stop acting proud and haughty. Don't speak with such arrogance, for the Lord is a God who knows what you have done." And she goes on. This is found in 1 Samuel in the first chapter, starting at verse 12. I want to invite Hannah here because these two women would greatly know Hannah and Hannah's song. And Hannah's child, Samuel, who we talked about recently, Samuel who grows to be a prophet, Samuel who goes and anoints David as king, making this connection, what has been, how God has moved in their history, which plays out over a long period of time, to the point where it had been thought that God was no longer speaking. There were no more signs, no more wonders. And then the Holy Spirit speaks. Elizabeth, pregnant with the child of the promise. Mary, pregnant with the fulfillment of the covenant. Two women in a humble home, exchanging a loving embrace, a knowing eye contact, a riveted knowing exchange as if they're one person. The two women, their unborn children, all together in this beautiful, beautiful embrace of the Holy Spirit. And Mary sings a song, inspired by their sister Hannah, as she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Indeed, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation." Mary's soul magnifies God, which isn't necessarily to like enlarge God, but to reveal God. God's presence clearly revealed in her life in this moment and throughout her life as she nurtures this child, prepares him, educates him, cares for him until his public ministry begins, and so too for Elizabeth. And so too their sister Hannah from so long ago, who dedicates her son. And he is steeped in, raised, literally raised in the faith. And she goes on, Mary goes on. "He has shown great strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has come to the aid of his child Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever." All of that promise taking form, being knit together in the wombs of these two women, cousins, and beyond cousins, sisters in the deepest sense of sisterhood. And I don't have time to make the comparison to what Hannah prays and what Hannah sings, but I highly, highly encourage you to spend some time, review the text for today, this reading from Luke, and then go back to 1 Samuel and see what these women have to say. See how God moves through their faith, how God comes to life through their bodies, that this Holy Spirit, this unembodied, power and presence of God, how God moves in and among the hearts and the minds of humankind, moves in their physical being as well. And when we do that, and if you still hold into mind those times of great good news, the miracles you might be able to name in your own life, to faithfully, like these women, name them as the movement of God and how God has expressed God's will and movement and power in your own life, we move beyond any kind of sentimental understanding of who God is, of how God moves in the world. We move into a holy understanding of what we mean when we say joy to the world. The Lord comes. Emmanuel, God with us. That's not some saccharine sentimentality. That's not a story to be domesticated and put on the shelf. It's good news that can give us strength for each new day. Because God comes into the hearts and the lives of the humble. And God comes into the hearts and the lives of the powerful and the arrogant. And humility can come to the arrogant as the kingdoms built on sand crumble and fall, leaving someone who is in the midst of it all then humbled and open. And God can come. God moves in the hearts and the minds and the lives who are vulnerable, who don't come from positions of power or great wealth, who indeed are of very little social significance by worldly accounting, and do great things when we're open. When we say a yes, like Mary's yes, and when we respond with joyful praise and prayer, like Mary and Elizabeth and Hannah. Good news indeed, to which I say, Amen. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. And we come to you, God, in all faith and humility, everything that we can conjure up in our hearts. And we open our hands. And we ask you, God, move in our hearts, move in our lives. Help us to embrace the spirit that we find in Hannah and Elizabeth and Mary. That your Holy Spirit would move among us. That you would heal us and that you would forgive us. Forgive us our sins, O God. All of the ways that we stop our ears and close our eyes to you. And we turn our backs when we're afraid or angry. When we think we ought to do it our own way. Be patient and kind with us, O God. And when we come to you with broken spirits and contrite hearts, with open hands and turned out pockets, and we ask for your forgiveness, we pray that we can claim the promise of our faith that you forgive us. And not only do you forgive us, you move in our hearts and you change our lives. And then through that change, you help us little by little to change the world. And we pray, God, we pray over this good, good world of yours. We pray for people in positions of power and influence, that you would indeed humble them, make them open to what you are doing in the world, open to the good news of Jesus Christ, open to your grace and your peace. Open to the spirit of hope and peace and joy and love that are this season of Advent. We pray, O God, for the Zecharias and the Samuels and the Hannahs and the Marys and the Elizabeths and the Joes and the Bobs, ordinary folk leading what we would describe as ordinary lives. Bless us all with the vision of the extraordinary, that the Holy Spirit would be upon us, radiant through us, particularly in this season. And God, you know our hearts. You know our prayer list. You know the things that might be keeping us up at night. You know those things that we're waiting for with just eager anticipation, the opportunities that we give you thanks for, the things that we hope that will come to pass. You know all of it. And so we take a moment in this prayer to trust you with our prayer lists, our joys and our concerns. We turn them all over to you in this moment. And we make a silent moment to listen for your voice. We break our silence. We thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. And we pray that you'll hear us as we celebrate a gift that you have given us, the gift of this prayer. A prayer we've learned in different translations, but hear us, we pray, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we will do so with joy in our hearts, the kind of joy present in this moment between Elizabeth and Mary and the Holy Spirit and Jesus and John and Hannah, that joy would radiate to this very moment and fill our hearts with the love of God, The God we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you, bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.